is the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Ro is off to an important event. He'll tell us more about that tomorrow. But sitting in with us still, Richard Roper hanging out with us. Of course, we've got Kevin on sports and Justin
Kaufman
joining us.
Look who's in
well.
To keep the trains running on time. No one trusts you guys.
I was hoping we'd have some Chelsea Dagger. I mean, Blackhawks are already here. This
Isn't
is wild.
Incredible?
That's right.
Training camp starts tomorrow. Kind of a disappointing end the last season, to say the least. But this season, we've got high hopes. And
That's
Judd Surratt joining us right now.
He's on the line. Judd, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Judd. So training camp starts tomorrow. This is a big deal. Of course, the Blackhawks ready to get the taste out of their mouth from last season. Mm. What do we expect? I mean, a lot has happened this offseason. Why don't we just start with, who are the stars on this team?
Well, Justin, first a couple of things. Earlier this week, I had a chance to head over to the Blackhawk offices for some meetings, and you can tell how anxious this group is from top to bottom to get onto the ice and vanquish that experience that they had last year in the playoffs against the Nashville Predators. And this year's team is going to have a different feel to it. I think that what you've seen Stan Bowman and Norm McIver and the Blackhawks do here during the offseason is they've added some players that give this team some sandpaper, some grit, some pushback that maybe they certainly lacked in last year's playoffs, and more than we've really seen here in the last couple of seasons. You add a guy, a local product in Tommy Wingles, you bring in Lance Bowman. These guys are essentially going to play in the bottom two lines, but you also acquire a guy in Connor Murphy in exchange for Nicholas Hjalmarsson from the Arizona Coyotes, and he's the type of player you haven't necessarily had here in quite a while, a big, punishing, right-handed, rangy defenseman. But in addition to that, there are a couple of names that have some opportunities both up front and on the back end to make this team that could make it a very interesting crew this year.
Well, some good news out of Traverse City, Judd. Talk about what happened there. Hawks coming away with a championship. Talk about that tournament in general and Alex DeBrincat, a huge goal.
Well, a couple of things. I think when it comes to the tournament, I talked with Jeremy Colleton, who coached that team, and he's going to be the new head coach in Rockford this year for the Ice Hogs, the Blackhawks' primary affiliate. And you have to keep in mind that I think in three of those four games, the Blackhawks had to battle back from behind to win. But I was talking to Jeremy about DeBrincat in particular. He said every time this guy is touching the puck, chances are happening and goals are going into the back of the net. But it wasn't just him. There were other guys, a kid named Luke Snuggerud, a defenseman who played college hockey at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. He's going to be in camp this season. You are starting to see a lot of young names that are popping at that level, and you get an idea of the type of talent that exists for the Blackhawks in the system. We're going to see some of those guys in Rockford as well. And that really bodes well because you absolutely have to have that depth if you're going to succeed as an organization. So a lot of exciting players and some very good things to come out of that tournament in Traverse City, and there are a handful of these that take place around the National Hockey League, but that's the biggest and the best of them.
Right. That's the prospects tournament we're talking about. First time they've won that tournament, correct, the Blackhawks?
First time ever. Congratulations to Mark Bernard, Jeremy Colleton, Derek King, the coaching staff, everybody involved. They did a terrific job. And one of the things that Jeremy also wanted to point out was that maybe it took a little while to figure out the type of team that they had and what it would take to be successful, and they started to simplify their game. If they're starting to learn that now, that really bodes well for the start of the season.
Hey, Judd, Richard Roper, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Richard.
I'd love to segue, if we can, for just a second here. You're talking about the future of the Blackhawks. Let's talk a little bit about a great legacy player who we lost, Pierre Palat. And for people who don't remember, Judd, maybe you can talk a little about his great three-time Norris Trophy winner. I mean, this guy's a Hall of Famer.
Pierre Palat was the guy, Richard, and it's a great point that you bring up. Before there was Bobby Orr, there was Pierre Palat. Mm. This was the guy who basically started to refashion that whole position, because for many, many years in the National Hockey League, defensemen were stay-at-home guys. They weren't looked as offensive players. Pierre Palat was a very different type of player. He was an offensive-minded guy, and he also played with a lot of grit. He was a terrific leader. He won the Norris Trophy three times, a shoe-in Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players ever to don skates in the National Hockey League, and I was really sad to hear about his passing. He was always a highlight for me, as well as a lot of guys who played during that era when they would head to the Blackhawks convention. That for me is one of my most favorite parts, to be able to get a chance to talk with those guys who played in the 1960s and were a part of that 1961 Stanley Cup championship team. And you could see it when you talked to him. He still had so much energy and so much passion about the game and for the game. And you could see that that's part of the reason that he was such a dynamic player for so long in the National Hockey League.
And really knew the game. And I love this, Judd and guys. In one of the obits, they interviewed Pierre Palat Jr. And they went to, and the reporter asked him, is there anything you'd like to add? They're talking about his legacy. And he said, you could add that he was a great man. And I thought that was just beautiful.
From your son. Wow. Yeah. That is, boy, chills.
No, he was great. You know, I mean, for a lot of those guys, you know, he was charming. He was honest. He was witty. And he was insightful and a whole lot of fun to be around. He was just a terrific guy. And I'm very sad to hear about his passing.
Yeah, it is sad. Judd, let me ask you about Brandon Saad returning. I saw one of the headlines. A little older, a little wiser. What do we think about Saad's return?
You know, I think, Anna, it's going to be a terrific thing for the Blackhawks on a variety of different levels. You got to remember, I think, when the Blackhawks made the trade, as much as you might think about the financial implications, this was also very much a hockey trade because you've got a guy in Brandon Saad who can play on the interior of the ice. And that's where games oftentimes are won or lost. You know, he's a big body. He can skate. He can play in multiple situations, which is terrific for Joel Quenneville. He can kill penalties. He can play on the power play. He can check. He can play in offensive situations. And he's versatile enough that he can play up and down your lineup. If you think back to, I think it was the 2015 Stanley Cup title, in that final game in Game 6 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the line that clinched it, that goal, that was Richards, Kane, and Saad. He wasn't playing with Jonathan Toews in that one. But one of the things I think everybody should keep their eyes on as you look ahead to the Blackhawks Training Camp Festival, and it sounds like Tom Skilling said we're going to have some terrific weather for it on Saturday. Mm-hmm. When you step inside of the United Center, I had a chance to look at some of the rosters, and we're going to get a glimpse of what could be Jonathan Toews' line. He's going to play, I think he's going to start out, playing with Brandon Saad and Richard Panik. And a lot of people are going to immediately, you know, it's going to bring back some recollections of Saad, Hossa, and Toews. In no way am I putting Richard Panik whatsoever in Marian Hossa's category. Marian is a two-foot puck for the Hall of Fame and one of the greatest players ever. But the skill set is similar. In fact, in many ways, Richard is a more physical player. Is he as well-rounded? Is he as consistent? That's something he's going to have to prove. But we're going to get a glimpse of that on Saturday and maybe some other combinations that are going to be on the ice at the Training Camp Festival on Saturday at the United Center.
Judd, can you give us an update on one? I know you don't want to speak for him, but if you can give us any sort of update on how Marian's doing. Yeah. We know he was dealing with a lot of stuff. And two, how, and I know there's a lot of complicated hockey language involved, but how do you see Marian Hossa and the roster sort of shaking out, and what's Stan Bowman going to do in regards to that?
Well, as far as Marian, all we know is that Marian will not be playing this year. We have no idea what's going to happen after this season. I did get a chance to see Marian the other day at the United Center. He looks great. He said maybe about a month after the season, he felt completely healthy and he was back to himself, which is terrific. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about what his plans are for this upcoming season. But, you know, just looking at him in a suit, he looked like he could immediately get rid of that, jump on the ice, and play. He looked fabulous, and he was always a finely tuned, well-conditioned athlete. As far as the salary cap, so without getting too technical, the Blackhawks have to be at or under the salary cap by opening night of the season, which I believe is October 5th. Then at that point, the Blackhawks have to make a decision on Marian's status going forward. Do they put him under what's called long-term injured reserve? And if they do, then they have access to the money that would be available that's created by the space under Marian's contract. But again, once the season ends, Marian's money goes right back on the cap. But it will give the Blackhawks, in theory, some freedom and some movement where they, if they have need and if there's availability, maybe they can add to their roster. But this is going to be a problem. As long as he's under contract and on the Blackhawks salary cap, you're going to have to see Stan Bowman and these guys do this juggling act. He'll go on the salary cap after the season, and the Blackhawks have to be at and under the cap by the time the season starts. Then he would, in theory, come off. So we'll see how it plays out here over the next few weeks.
Well, training camp starts tomorrow. The first preseason game's Tuesday night. Judd Surratt has pre and post for WGN Radio, as he always does. Judd, a pleasure to talk with you and to get an update on the beginning of what will be a championship run for the Chicago Blackhawks. Thanks, Judd.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to being ton as we get started for the season.
Awesome. Thanks, Judd.
All right, we're going to check traffic now. And for that, it's sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Let's check in with Violetta Podramatic.